The scene repeats in countless homes. Parents dread their children's teenage years, expecting sweet children to transform into hormonal monsters. "You just have to expect rebellion," a father remarks with resignation at a marriage conference. "You can't argue with hormones," his wife adds. This biological determinism reduces teenagers to collections of raging hormones, as if scripture's truths somehow can't penetrate the life of someone between 13 and 19. What if we've got it all wrong? What if these years aren't meant to be endured but embraced? The teenage years expose not just adolescent struggles, but parental shortcomings too. When your teenager pushes back against your authority or questions your decisions, these moments reveal your own heart issues, your self-righteousness, impatience, and craving for comfort. Rather than years to merely survive, adolescence represents an unprecedented opportunity, the golden age of parenting. Almost every day brings a new chance to enter your teen's life with help, hope, and truth. The mundane moments, arguments over the last Pop-Tart, clothing crises, poor grades, aren't hassles but divine appointments, the very moments God made parents for. Imagine answering differently when someone asks what you do. "I am the parent of a teenager. It's the most important, exciting job I've ever had, full of opportunities to make a lasting difference. I wouldn't give it up for anything." To effectively parent teenagers, we must first examine the idols influencing our own lives. The idol of comfort makes us prioritize our needs, triggering anger when teens disrupt our peace. The idol of respect causes us to personalize what isn't personal, like the father who damaged his relationship by destroying his daughter's possessions when she wouldn't clean her room. We embrace the idol of appreciation when expecting gratitude from typically unthankful teenagers, treating parenting as a contract rather than ministry. The idol of success appears when we tie our identity to our children's achievements, viewing them as trophies and resenting their failures. The idol of control emerges when we resist teenagers' natural progression toward independence. Successful parenting requires gradually relinquishing control, yet many parents become jailers rather than ministers. Recognizing these idols allows us to dismantle them through confession and repentance, creating space for gospel-centered parenting. Rather than debating definitions, we should understand family by what God intended it to do. Family is God's primary learning community, as Judges 2 shows when the first generation raised in the Promised Land knew neither the Lord nor what He had done for Israel. Unlike formal classrooms, family life offers spontaneous teaching moments in real contexts. Parents have unique opportunities during bedtimes, meals, car rides, and daily activities. Every moment, whether conflict, joy, work, or play, becomes a teaching opportunity. The Bible portrays children as covenantal beings made for relationship with God, social beings created for community, interpreters of experiences, and individuals whose hearts drive behavior. Effective parenting focuses on shepherding hearts, not merely controlling actions. Changing outward behavior without addressing heart issues is like fruit stapling, artificially attaching good fruit to a tree with bad roots. Family must function as a theological community where God forms the foundation, a sociological community where teens overcome sinful individualism, and a redemptive community centered on grace. Effective parents remember their own teenage experiences, the self-consciousness, confusion, and embarrassment that felt catastrophic. Forgetting these feelings causes us to minimize teen struggles and miss chances to bring Christ's presence to confused youth. Proverbs highlights key teenage traits: lack of wisdom, hunger, overconfidence, defensiveness, protective moats, blame shifting, and following rules without understanding principles. Teens often choose friends based on the belief, "To reject my friends is to reject me." Rather than criticizing, we should help them evaluate relationships biblically through thoughtful questions about motives and behaviors. Adolescence brings physical awakening and new romantic interests. Parents must overcome discomfort and establish open communication about sexuality early, ideally before adolescence, maintaining consistent dialogue throughout. Teenagers lack eschatological perspective. They don't view life with eternity in mind. Present-focused and resistant to delayed gratification, they need guidance to think in terms of long-term investment rather than immediate rewards, challenging the cultural lie that success equals material accumulation. What is our ultimate goal in parenting? Beyond education, careers, and marriages, we should focus on developing a heart for God in our teenagers, as David expresses in Psalm 27:4, reflecting our human purpose to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Three factors explain why children from Christian homes often lack spiritual hunger: familiarity, taking faith for granted, lifestyle, separate lives rather than consistent mentoring, and parental hypocrisy, inconsistent living. If you failed here, don't respond defensively. Instead, confess to your teenager, "The way I've lived has often contradicted what I've taught you. Please forgive me." These words can transform your teenager's appreciation for God. A heart for God isn't about external religious performance, but a sincere hunger to know Him. This teenager becomes a spiritual self-starter who seeks growth-oriented relationships. To cultivate this hunger, make family worship engaging with challenging books, read Proverbs and the Gospels, and create an atmosphere for questions without fear. Point to God naturally throughout daily life. The ultimate goal of parenting is preparing children for independence, equipping them to live as God's servants. Parents must shift from ownership to stewardship, recognizing children belong to God. This perspective transforms how we navigate teenage years. Many teens leave home unprepared because relationships with parents have become toxic through persistent anger and criticism rather than grace. Parents modeling Christ should accept, greet sin with grace while maintaining standards, incarnate, reveal Christ's love in interactions, identify, acknowledge shared struggles instead of standing self-righteously, and enter, immerse themselves in their teenager's world. Biblical maturity requires nurturing sensitivity to God's will, godliness in decisions, spiritual growth, perseverance, appreciation of grace, and kingdom awareness beyond self-focus. Parents must model the maturity they expect by acknowledging their own need for growth, admitting mistakes, asking forgiveness, and demonstrating continuous growth with God. Parents of teenagers need biblical goals and practical strategies. Implement project parenting by being purposeful rather than haphazard. Identify specific growth areas and approach them with prepared spontaneity. Maintain intentional daily conversations, not just during problems. Be preventative rather than merely confrontational, persisting even when unappreciated. Create concrete escape plans for your teenager's specific temptations. Study their observations, peer interactions, and self-talk to understand their inner world. Their words and actions reveal heart issues. Avoid behavior modification through manipulation, embarrassment, threats, or guilt. Instead, draw out your teenager's heart with soft answers and thoughtful questions. Enter difficult conversations with grace using engaging stories. Prioritize issues wisely. Hairstyles matter less than disrespect. Imperfect manners less than materialism. Remember your limitations. Change comes through God's work. Rest in biblical promises. You're not alone. God helps in trouble, works for good, empowers beyond imagination, and ensures your labor isn't in vain. These promises transform parenting from survival to purposeful calling.